Well, hello and welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast. I am here with the 1 Minute Apologist, Dr. Bobby Conway, and today we are going to be talking about how to become an apologist.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, my name is Tim Hall, and I just want to welcome again everybody to this podcast. The essence of the 1 Minute Apologist ministry, and something that Bobby has taken a lot of time and effort over his career to do, is to help give credible answers to curious questions. And this podcast is an extension of that. So we want to continue to give those answers to the questions that people have. And so today we're going to address this topic of how do I become an apologist? So usually we have some shorter answers, whether it's Dr. Bobby Conway giving us some answers on a video, or we're interviewing different experts or scholars in a certain field. And this podcast, particularly today, is going to be kind of some just deeper thoughts from Bobby and his ministry and his experience as a pastor, as a leader, as an apologist. So if you hear something in this podcast that you think somebody that you know needs, someone that might be an aspiring apologist or that has a question that we answer, feel free to go ahead and share it. You can subscribe to wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's on iTunes or Podbean or any one of the number of podcast outlets that's out there. Please go ahead and do that. So as we get into this topic, I think one of the critical things is to kind of define maybe what is an apologist or what is apologetics. For those of us that have no idea, no clue, how would you go about tackling that answer?
Yeah, let's start at the ground floor, Tim. Well, what an exciting moment for us as we're kicking off the podcast. I'm excited to have this opportunity with you and to be able to come to our audience through this means. An apologist, in the Greek, it comes from the word apologia. It means to give a defense. It's primarily rooted out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, always be ready to give an apologia, or a defense, when somebody asks you for the hope that is within you. Now, we often end up providing intellectual or evidential answers, but in the context where Peter is writing, he's writing to believers who are suffering. And when people see you suffering for your faith, be ready to give an apologia. So there's this aspect that giving a defense through our life is paramount, that people are watching for the credibility of our Christian faith by the way we react and respond to the different host of circumstances that we're placed in. So an apologist, though, is one who gives a defense for his faith through his life. But as we typically think of apologetics, it's getting into the intellectual or evidential explanations as well. So an apologist is one who is first and foremost trained as a Christian in his own theology, and then he knows how in turn to provide great discernment as it relates to other worldviews that are out there. So an apologist can talk to a Jehovah's Witness or to a Mormon or to a Muslim or to a naturalist and be able to give good arguments that are reasonable for why it is a Christian believes what it is, in fact, that he does believe.
I have heard it summed up a number of different ways, but I like how you incorporated this idea of partly how we live, but partly what we can articulate and what we understand. That's awesome. Mm. Somebody that's kind of just getting on this journey, maybe somebody that has engaged with somebody else from a belief system, like you just mentioned, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, naturalist, and they've been kind of left without some adequate answers. What are some of the first things that you feel like somebody that maybe is striving to be an apologist, maybe they don't even know what apologetics is until they listen to this podcast, what would be some next steps for them to kind of get into? Where would they start?
Apologetics can become an overwhelming field for somebody to get into. Yeah. I know for me, when I first got into it, I found myself obsessing on trying to learn every detail that I could about every different belief system. And somewhere along the line, you realize that, you know what, we're finite. That's never going to happen. So what sort of an approach that we can consider that can help us to be effective? I think first and foremost, as it relates to our own theology, we think about what are the core Christian tenets. So we think about the infallibility of Scripture, the deity of Christ, the Trinity, salvation by grace through faith in Christ, just to name a few, the atonement, the resurrection. And then with, you know, those few doctrines in place, once we understand what those are teaching, then what we do is we get into dialogue with others, and hopefully to build friendship, not arrogant apologetics, not defensive apologetics where we're beating people up, but giving a defense. As William Lane Craig says, you know, you can give a defense without being defensive. And so what ends up happening, let's just take Mormonism, for example. When it comes to Mormonism, instead of getting off on some of the ancillary topics, or even Jehovah's Witnesses, like why celebrate Flag Day, or blood transfusions, or why not celebrate birthdays, or was the Christmas tree a pagan symbol? While those might be interesting topics, we want to stay at the core of Christianity. And so we want to know how Mormonism or how Jehovah's Witnesses differ to our core theology. So now we take the deity of Christ. What do Mormons teach about the deity of Christ? Or what do Jehovah's Witnesses teach about the deity of Christ? Well, obviously, the Jehovah's Witness will say that Jesus was, you know, the first created being, and they will deny that, or they'll deny the doctrine of the Trinity, or Mormons are polytheists, believing that they could attain to godhood someday. When it comes to the infallibility of Scripture, we know the Jehovah's Witnesses have their New World Translation, and they've tweaked our Scriptures, but then Mormons have the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrines and Covenants, and they have added beliefs as well. And so when it comes to salvation, the Mormon will say, I'm saved by grace, but we have to define our terms because for them, grace just gets them started, but they have to preserve their faith by their good works. And so we step back and we think about atonement. Jesus, you know, he's somebody who never really pulled off what we believe he pulled off. They don't believe he rose from the grave physically, but rather it was a spiritual resurrection. So anytime I find myself in conversation with a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, and those conversations get off track on these ancillary issues, as I mentioned, I like to bring us back to the core of what we believe and keep it there, because that's what we are really after. We want them to believe in the existence of God, in the doctrine of the Trinity as we know it, in the person of Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to apologetics too, we pick up where the person is. If we're talking to a Mormon, we don't give evidence for the existence of God. We save that for when we're talking to an atheist. Mm. So that's one way to simplify an approach and to begin to get into it. Last thing I'd say is, instead of just sitting around studying Buddhism, think about the people who are in your sphere of influence, know what it is that they believe, know what questions they have, and realize that our sanctification material in apologetics is to become robust in our ability to give answers to those who are in our closest spheres of influence.
That's great. I mean, those are some extremely helpful points, just even as someone that's been involved in this for a while, hearing that again is really great. So I appreciate that. I'm wondering if you could create or you could give us a little bit of distinction between scholars and apologists. So do apologists have to be scholars? Are scholars automatically apologists? What are some different areas? Because I know that from interacting with people that have different beliefs than I do, sometimes the thing might come up when someone says, why does believe what the bulk of scientists believe or something like that, because they're scholars and they know better than you, and you're, you know, just as a pejorative term, you're just an apologist or whatever. So tell me maybe a little bit about that relationship and how you view that as a scholar yourself and someone that's done kind of some of that deeper research. How would you kind of define those two things differently?
Well, I would say that any apologist that is a scholar, they're setting out to become that scholar with a particular passion and a pathway that they're on that not everybody is called to. Mm. So every Christian is called to be able to give an answer for their faith. When Peter's writing to those whom he says, hey, always be ready to give an answer, he wasn't writing to a group of scholars. Now, I'm not saying there wouldn't have been any scholars in their midst, but I would say that a scholar is somebody who typically takes a specific field. They go very, very deep into it. They've got their credentials. They've done their research. They have picked a field of study where they've become a PhD. They end up getting published in scholarly articles. And some of those things would be what distinguishes a scholar. It's not good for us, though, if we're not called to be a scholar, to say, I'm just going to leave that work there. We still have a responsibility to exercise our mind, to be responsible with what it is that we believe. Mm. I like to say that apologetics is the way that we love the world with our mind. We love the world enough to know what they believe so that we can give credible answers to curious questions. Our motto at the One Minute Apologist. And so even the scholar, though, they are also borrowing scholarship from others. Every single person is finite, and therefore we're all trusting in the beliefs and opinions and the research of others. But that doesn't mean we trust in a way that means we check our brains at the door and we don't do the hard mental work of studying ourselves.
That's great. That's great. Well, I think that about does it for this episode today. So one of the things that I would love to mention, if you came across this podcast because you were like, oh, I don't even know what apologetics is or how to become an apologist, and you got some helpful insight, one great place to start would be oneminuteapologist.com. We have a number of resources there, some videos. We have almost 1,000 videos, maybe even over that, depending on when you're listening to this episode. And we're looking to have more videos and to answer more questions. Some things that you can kind of grab onto is if you become part of our team on the 1 Minute Apologist team through a donation, there's some exclusive content at the website that you can check out to help you with your journey of apologetics. There's other people that are striving to work in and be apologists at the website where you can ask questions and get some answers. There's also some webinars that you can watch or be part of with Bobby and ask some different questions there. So there's just some really great resources if you're on that journey of becoming an apologist or just dipping your toe in that. You've had some questions that you haven't really got answered. We would invite you to head on over to the website for some more resources. So on next week's episode, we are going to be talking about what are the makings of a good apologist. We kind of gave an overview of what an apologist is, the difference between scholarship and apologetics, and we're talking about a good apologist when it comes to looking at that from a biblical perspective. So, Bobby, thank you so much for your insight today.
You bet, bud.
And we'll see everybody next week.